Hallelujah. I'm so excited for the word here tonight. And you know, we're just going to have, well, let me be honest with you. We're going to have a talk here tonight. And we're just going to see where the Holy Ghost leads us here tonight. So it was about 4:30, and my husband was attacked with some symptoms in his body. And so he said, I'm not sure that I'm kind of not, you know, I'm dealing with this right now. And I said, you probably need to stay home. And he said, I can't do that to you. I was supposed to minister here tonight, you know, tonight in Corey. And I said, that's all right. I said, I'll be ready. I said, the Lord will meet me. The Lord will give me the service. And I said, you stay home. You need to rest. You got to heed that. You know, how many of you know it's wisdom sometimes? Yeah. You have symptoms in your body. You know, listen, it's not looking for symptoms. What can I say is wrong with me tonight so I can miss church? No, not that. My elbow hurts. I think I should stay home. No, I'm talking, if you think you might give somebody else something, if you think you might make a mess of the sanctuary, stay home, all right? Stay home. Watch the service online and you know, use your faith and hook up your faith and get in the word at home. But if you're dealing with something, stay home. And, you know, so anyway, I said, the Lord will meet me. I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things that pertain to my life and ministry. I tell everybody, they say, what's your favorite scripture? I say, 1 John 2:20, I have an anointing, I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. I've been quoting that scripture all the time. For years, I've been quoting that scripture. I've been saying, I know everything I need to know, God. So what did I say tonight when it was on me, you know, an hour ago or whatever? Hey, you're going to preach the word tonight. Okay. And so this scripture came to me. Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 4. We're just going to have a conversation here tonight. And you know, we'll see if God takes us. We'll see where God takes us. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4. Praise the Lord. This is what dropped in my heart. I said, the Lord will meet me. I'll be ready. I can do it. Lord will meet me. I don't have to do it. The Lord will meet me. Amen. And so 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word. That was my answer. Preach the word. That was what dropped in my heart. Preach the word. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come, listen to this, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But listen to this. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Well, the Lord is talking to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, through, you know, the Lord through the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, a pastor, and he's saying, preach the word. Listen, there's going to be a lot of people telling false doctrine, a lot of teachers that are going to just, you know, tickle people's ears. You just be ready. In season and out of season, and you fulfill your ministry. You preach the word, you fulfill the ministry that I've called you to. The Lord dropped that in my heart. So you know what I did? I said, honey, I'm going to go right now. I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to spend some time with God. And so I hopped in the car, and what did I do? I started praising God. Thank you, Lord. I have anointing from you, Lord. You told me to preach the word. You told me to be ready in season and out of season. You told me to fulfill my ministry. I'm going to fulfill the plan that you have for me. And so I quoted my favorite scripture, and I said, thank you, Lord, this is your word, and I stand on it. And you know what started happening? Scripture's dropping in my heart. I'm praising him. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. Scripture's dropping in my heart. And so I've got scripture after scripture after scripture. And so I'm just going to go in order what the Lord dropped in my heart as I was preaching the word and preaching to him and preaching to myself and praising him. And we're going to see where God takes us here tonight. But you know, and then, because if anybody knows me, you know my gifting is I'm a teacher, not just because naturally I went to college and became a teacher, but that's one of the fivefold ministry offices, and that's the ministry office that is strong in my life, because the Lord has called me to that. And so, you know, a teacher wants to spend, I mean, every message I minister here, I typically spend 10 or 20 hours preparing it. You say, where do you find that time? Well, I just do, because I just get excited and want to dive into the Word. I mean, I just spend a lot of time studying the Word. But I didn't have 10 or 20 hours today. But how many of you know that when you live in a place where you spend time with God, God's going to have things for you? So how was he able to drop scripture after scripture after scripture in my heart? Because I've put scriptures in me, because I've spent time with him. And so as I was praising him, as I was going to him saying, Lord, you're going to have to drop things in my heart. You're going to have to give me direction. You're going to have to. I don't have 10 or 20 hours to do things my way, God. I think I'm going to have to do things your way tonight. And you know, then the temptation, I better get my fonts all organized and my color coding. And I actually sat in Peebles parking lot praying a little while, because I just didn't want to come yet. I just wanted a little more alone time with God. And I sat in the parking lot, and you know what finally came to me? Wait a minute. You're going to go there, and you're going to tell everybody to be ready in season and out of season. Are you ready? Do you really have to color code that message right now? Or are you going to trust God to deliver it? And I was like, oh my goodness, God, I'm going to trust you to deliver that message tonight. And I'm sharing this with you because it's learning, not to tell on myself, not to be like, you know, to be funny or anything like that, but to show you that sometimes the Lord's going to trust, or he's going to expect you to trust him and to do things his way instead of your way. Oftentimes, every time, if you're willing. Hallelujah. So, you know, I just reminded God, I have an anointing for Cory, Pennsylvania. I am called there. I am a teacher. You know, back in October of 2010, so we started going to the church in September of 2005, and before that, I was an atheist. So I got saved in September of 2005. And so real quick after, I was like, let me serve. Can I do something here? Can you let me? I can do something. Can I do anything, something? And I was good at graphic design. I studied it, you know, in college for, you know, my art education degree and things like that. And so they gave me a job of designing the candy bar wrappers that we used to give out to the new people. I always thought that was really strange. I did not raise my hand for a candy bar that time I was there, because I was like, I'm an atheist. I don't want your candy bar. But it was a sweet gesture, no pun intended. But anyway, I made the little casings for it, you know, the cover for it, and I ended up doing that. And then they said, well, what about serving in nursery? Okay, I'll serve in nursery. And so I had a hunger to serve, but I never, ever, ever thought I was called to any kind of ministry. I didn't even know that that was such a thing, that being called to the ministry was such a thing. I just figured people decided to be pastors, like they decide to do anything else. I didn't really realize, because I was an atheist, and that was how I was raised. I never really thought about that. And so 5 years go by, and the Lord started dealing with my heart that I was called to the ministry. And I heard an authoritative voice in my spirit one day when I was speaking with somebody else about some other important things. The Lord said, you know, I didn't make you a teacher just so you could teach art. But I knew instantly in my heart what he meant by that. And I knew instantly, and the Holy Spirit, the tangible presence of God was on me at that moment, and I knew he made me a teacher for his body. And he didn't have to say, I made you teach. I knew it. There was an instant knowing through that authoritative voice. And so I knew that I was called into the teacher's office for the body of Christ back in 2010. And so I know that, and that's an anchor to me, that the Lord dealt with my heart about that. Of course, over years, it was proven out. And, of course, in 2014, we were sent out to minister. And so when it came to Cory, PA, there's something special. I love Family Church Mayville. There's something special there as well. But there's something about Cory that that there's an unction here greater than I've experienced anywhere else to teach the Word. And I knew that, the first time I ever ministered here in Cory, I knew there was an unction in me to teach the Word of God. And I was listening on the way here. The Lord reminded me of a word that was spoken over me. And I'm not trying to glorify a prophecy or to glorify a prophecy or to glorify something other than the Word of God or other than God. But how many of you know that if you believe in those who God has called, you believe in the anointing on their life, then you believe, you can believe the prophecy, right? And so I was listening on the way here. Pastor Tim, back in the spring of 2018, it was the end of May, he called me up on a Wednesday night service, and he laid hands on me, and there was a prophetic word. There was a prophecy that he spoke over me, and I'm going to read that to you right now. And this is not to glorify me. This is just because it was right and good to share it. The favor of God is upon you for this assignment for Corey, Pennsylvania. The favor of God is upon you, favor and influence. The words that you speak in that town will just penetrate the hearts of the people. They'll penetrate the hearts of the people, and they'll be glad they have a teacher in their midst for the safety and the security of God's people, for the healing of the brokenhearted. And so the Lord reminded me of that on the way here, that there's an unction on my life, that there's an unction on my life, that there's an ability, an anointing from Him Himself, from the Lord Himself. And so if you hook up with that here tonight, I believe that you're going to experience a message from God Himself. And I don't say that because it's me. Please never think that I'm speaking of myself. I'm talking about the office. I'm talking about the anointing and the call that God placed on my life. And so I reminded God of that. I listened to that. I transcribed that. And I said, Lord, you called me here. You have a message for me. You have a message for me to deliver. You have equipment for me to bring to your people. And so that's what I'm going to deliver. And I don't know why I felt the need to share all that, but I believe it helps. I believe it's good for you to understand that. Listen, I didn't just get in my car unprepared and come here. You know, I'm ready in season and out of season. Who God calls, He equips. If there's an anointing on your life and you trust Him for it, He'll meet you where you're at. If you spend time with Him regularly, the answer will be there. Even when you didn't think you'd have to give the answer, it'll be there and you'll be ready for it. Amen? So we're going to talk about being ready. We're going to talk about having an unction. We're going to be talking about preaching the word and answering the situation. Amen? Well, we know, first off, that when you don't have an answer, the first thing you can do is praise Him. The first thing you can do is praise Him. You know, we know in Psalm 22:3, remember it says, but you are holy, God, right? You're enthroned with the praises of Israel. And we know that what that really means is He lives in, inhabits the praises of His people. His people, amen? And so the first thing you do when something comes up that you're not naturally ready for, maybe a situation, you know, I'm talking about tonight, you know, I wasn't ready, naturally planning to come here and preach the word. I'm not just talking about that, but it's a good illustration. But when something naturally comes up that you're not necessarily ready in the natural for, the first thing is praise Him. Remind Him that, you know, God, you live in my praise. I need your presence in this situation. I need your anointing in this situation. I need your answers in this situation. So I'm inviting you in with my praise. You praise Him. You remind Him how good He is. You remind Him what He's done for you in the past. You remind Him what His word says. Amen. So the first thing is you're going to preach the word. You know, the devil, or you're going to praise God, praise the Lord, preach to God through praise, amen? You know, the devil, he's known for being somebody who likes to issue pop quizzes. I was thinking about that, you know, on the way here. He is like the pop quiz. I don't want to call him a master at all, but he's the pop quiz guy. He's always going to come and he's going to be like, you're ready for this test? I got a test for you today. Take out your pencil right now. This counts for your whole life. This is going to, you either pass or you fail right now on this pop quiz. And that's what it's going to seem like a lot of times, right? And so he comes with a pop quiz. And you're like, I don't have the answer for that. I don't know what to do. Well, the first thing you can do is praise God. Because as you praise Him, if you've been faithful to sit in the local church, if you've been faithful to read the word and pray on your own time and seek God and seek first the kingdom of heaven, if you've been faithful in that, then when you enter into that praise and you invite God in, He can start reminding you of those things that you know, those things that are already in you, amen? The word says, you know, your word I have hidden in my heart so I should not sin against you, right? Well, your word I have hidden in my heart So I have an answer for every test. For I have an answer for that pop quiz that wants to come. You know, it's like, is it A, is it B, is it C, or is it D, all of the above? Well, praise is kind of like that, all of the above. I might as well take a stab at it and praise him to begin with. Because at least you can remember that. Like, you may not remember verbatim, word for word scripture when things are feeling really hard in your life, but at least you can start with praise, because you should all remember how to say glory to God, thank you, Father, and you will have that unction and that utterance to praise him. But if we've done our homework, if we've done our studying, if we've spent time with God ahead of time, then those things that we need will be in us. And then you can claim, I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things that pertain to my life. I know all the answers I need to know for this situation and every other situation I'm going to deal with. Amen. So choose praise. It's like choosing all of the above. Amen. But with the revelation that you start with praise, then you understand that when you've hidden that word in you, that's what will come out of you. You know, whatever you put into you is what comes out of you. You know, like you see all these kids that are playing all these violent video games all the time, and it's no wonder they're so aggressive. It's no wonder they're so angry. A test comes, something makes them frustrated, and they act out in anger. Why? Because they've been putting anger and violence and frustration into them, you know, and I've realized that lately. Like, if you don't want anger to come out of you, listen, kids who have an anger problem, don't give them angry video games. Don't give them angry video games. Don't do it, because what will come out of them in the trial, in the test, when something frustrating comes up, is the anger, is the violence. You know, people wonder why, but that's a problem. But whatever you've hidden inside of you is the point. Whatever you've hidden inside of you is what's going to come out when you're tested. I've heard it said like a sponge. A sponge will absorb whatever you put, you know, it on, or whatever you expose it to, a sponge will absorb it. And when it's squeezed, whatever's inside of it, it'll come out. If you picked up, I'm an art teacher, so if I use a sponge and I wipe up some red paint, later in the day, if somebody squeezes, you know, kids like to go fill up the sponge with water in the sink and not wring it out and not make sure it's clean. They like to fill it up in the sink, and then they come over to the table and they go like this, and then there's red paint water all over because they didn't check, you know. Somebody filled it up with red paint, wasn't caring what it was filled up with. You know, that's an example of what happens in our life when we fill up on video games, we fill up on TV, we fill up on conversations with people we probably don't need to be getting advice from. We fill up on, you know, a symptom came in our body, and so we went online and we researched it to see what we were dying from. I did that like my whole life, not online, but in a book. You know, you fill up on that information, and then when you're squeezed, that's all the stuff that is going to be the answer. And we don't want to be that way, amen? Let's turn to Mark 13:11. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mark 13:11. Praise the Lord. Is there an issue with that, Mark? You could just turn it off. Praise the Lord. Mark 13:11. But when they arrest you, or when they test you, we could also say, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. Listen, our job is to get the word in us and to feed on the word of God. It isn't to try to figure out our scripted answer for the circumstance. You know, when all you're doing is putting a script in you, the devil knows you don't really believe it. Is that off? Okay. It's kind of like when you ever get those Christians who speak Christianese, they're always like the downtrodden and depressed Christians, but they're the ones who say, how's it going? Oh, things are glorious, and God is on my side, and the favor of God, and then they're the ones who are like, but I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, behind closed doors. They're the miserable ones, you know. The devil knows that you're scripted. The devil knows that you're just creating some, like, false, fake, scripted answer. You got to be genuine. You've got to be real, amen? You know, when the devil comes, to deliver you up. Do not worry or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. If we put the Holy Spirit in, if we spend time with him, if we meditate on his word, if we pray in the Holy Spirit, we'll be filled up, and then when we have to give an answer, when we have to answer for the test, we will know what to say. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord will help you answer. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What's your own understanding? Lean not on what you concoct in your head. Lean not on what you understand from your life experience or someone else's or something you've been taught or something you heard someone say once. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. He shall direct your paths. What is this meaning? What are we talking about? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Spend time with him. Get what he has to say in you. He'll direct your paths. He'll give you the answer when it's time to have the answer. He'll give you the way out of the trial. Amen? Let's turn to Ephesians 6. I'm just sharing with you the scriptures that dropped in my heart as I was seeking the Lord for tonight's service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6, let's start in verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Yep, this is our answer. Tonight I'm filling up your arsenal. I'm helping you to have the tools, the weapons, the bullets, the answers for the pop quiz. I'm sharpening your pencil, right? So you're ready to take that test. And so if you pay attention here tonight, and I say I, but I really mean the Lord is. The Lord's giving you stuff for your arsenal tonight. If you say, Lord, I believe you for it. I'm writing it down. I'm going to remember it. I'm going to take it home with me and not just, oh, that was a good service. Nope. All right, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. You know, people ask me all the time. They say, how can you do it? Like, how do you do what you do? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you work full time. You have a part time job. You and your husband pastor two churches. You have a family. You run the, you know, administrative part of the church. How do you do it? How do you have a relationship with God? How do you do it? Do I have a choice? I do all to stand. Whatever I have to do, there's going to be a grace to do it. I'm not going to quit. Am I going to say, I can't do it and roll, curl up in a ball and just quit? I can't. I do all to stand. So if this is what I need to do, this is what I need to do. I will do all to stand. So many Christians are like, oh, that person was mean to me. I'm just going to quit. That person at church gave me a dirty look. I don't think I can go there anymore. I don't think I can handle it. They made me mad. They did something differently than I would have done it. We're supposed to work like a team, and I don't want to do it that way. I'm not going to do it anymore because I don't want to work the way they work. Mm-hmm. Okay, quit. Quit. Do it. Where is it going to get you? Amen? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against this natural realm at all. The things that we come against, the things that come against us, they're from the enemy. They're principalities, powers. They're above us. They're in this realm that we, not above us in value, not above us in authority, but above this realm. They're in the spiritual realm. They're picking people to be their ninnies. Amen. But they're not people. We're not fighting with people. I don't know why I said that, but you know, it's good. So take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, right? You have to do all to stand. Then we can quench, right? We can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We're going to see that. Stand therefore, this is verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, of thinking and acting like God, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Having put on the word of God, having gotten the word of God on your life, the word of God going with you, right? You put shoes on your feet, they're going with you where you go. You put the word of God on you, it's going with you where you go. What is the word of God on our feet? What is shodding your feet, right? Having shod your feet with the preparation. When you put on, you're like, okay, direct my paths. These are those fancy like Jetson shoes. They're going to direct my path. They're going to fly me right through that path I need to go. Do you know what the Jetsons is? Okay. She's like, Jetsons? No. Praise the Lord. So having shod your feet with the word of God, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Be ready. In season and out of season, be ready in the test. Be ready when it's unicorn and sunshines and butterflies. Be ready in season and out of season, right? I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what that's talking about? I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to go through the trial. I know how to go through the abundance. I know how to go through the storm. I know how to be with sunshines and butterflies, right? That's what it means. I can do all things. I can go through trials. Or essentially what that verse is saying. Do you know that? It's saying I can go through trial. I know how to get to the other side of trial. I can do that. I can get through trial. I can stand. I can do all to stand. I can withstand. I can do that. I can do all things. That's what it's talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen to this. Praying always, how do we get armored up? How do we get, as a Welcome to the Revival would say, how do we get geared up? We get geared up this way. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful in prayer. To this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We get ready, we get shod with the preparation, we get the armor of God by praying, by getting in the word of God, amen? And so we need to do that. That's how you're going to be ready in season and out of season. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Yeah, praise the Lord. Luke chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word is good. I just love that the Lord will always meet you. I love too that he's showing you that, you know, that he equips. He's the one who does the equipping. You know, the Lord will meet us here, and the Lord will answer things you need when you need the answers. Hallelujah. So we're going to look a little bit at the parable of the sower, and we're just going to look at the parable of the sower explained. And we're going to start in verse 11, so Luke 8, 11 through 15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, listen, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So how are we going to make sure that the devil doesn't come and take the word out of us? We are going to be steadfast. We're going to watch in prayer. We're going to watch and hang on to it. We're going to guard it. We're going to hide it in our heart. We're going to remind ourselves daily that it's the word that is the one that directs our paths, that it's the word that is our sword, that it's getting him and his stuff in us, not the junk in the world, not the garbage in the world, but it's the stuff that he wants to put in us. We are going to guard it. We're going to guard it. Just like God told original man in the garden, he said, guard this, keep the good stuff, guard it, protect it, right? We're going to guard it and protect it because the devil is going to come right here, comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. That doesn't just mean be saved in eternity. That means to be delivered from the trial at hand. That means to be saved. He's going to come, like tonight, you're getting this word. You know that it's a message from heaven itself, that I didn't come up with this on my own. You know that. If you know me, if you trust me, if you believe what I shared with you about the testimony of tonight, you know that God is trying to deliver something to you. So if he's trying to deliver a word to you, you know that there's an enemy who's going to come. We wrestle not against flesh, but there's a realm that's going to fight us to try to take the word out of our hearts. Are you going to guard it? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to be watchful until the end? Amen? Praise the Lord. I guess I don't want to, let's read the whole thing. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy and then have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. We don't want to be those people. Like, yeah, you're excited here tonight. You're getting the word of God. But you're going to be like, it's one ear and out the other. I'm not going to hang on to it. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. We don't want to be those ones either, who are just distracted all the time and don't want to actually get any benefits of the word of God because you'd rather have the pleasures of life. You can have the pleasures of life or you can have the blessings of God. But you know what? They're not in harmony with one another. I'm not saying, don't twist my words, I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. God gave us all things richly to enjoy. I'm saying when all the stuff in the natural realm takes your affection over God, there's a problem with that. But the ones that fell on the good ground, everybody say, I'm going to be good ground, are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, guard it, and bear fruit with patience. Amen. The devil comes for the word's sake. We know that the adversary walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're supposed to be sober, be vigilant. And what does that mean? Guard, keep, be watchful. Amen. Let's look at John 16:33. Oh, yeah. Yep. This is why the Lord's delivering this for us. Filling up the arsenal. These things I have spoken to you, John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the Amplified, it says, I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have deprived the world of its power to harm you. Really? I've deprived the devil. I've deprived the principalities. I've deprived the enemy of its power to harm you. I have overcome it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Let's turn. I want you to turn with me in Scripture because it's good for you. Romans 8. Because you know what? If you don't know where the tools are in your arsenal, anybody have a junk drawer at your house where you throw your tape and, you know, your batteries and your dice and your cards and your pencils that are broken and not sharpened and your pens that have no cap, maybe even some that have exploded, your rubber bands. What else is in our junk drawer? You got one of those and you're like, I really could use some tape right now. I have a present to wrap. And you're like, where is it? If you don't have it on the shelf and organized and known where it's at, you're not going to have it when you need it. And likewise, it is with the word of God. If we don't go in our word and know where to find it, if this, you know, this is like our, is it our armory, right? It's where we go and we get the equipment and the tools to fight the war, right? The sword of the Spirit. And so this is where it is. But if we don't know where it's located, how are we going to know where to get it when it's time for the battle? Amen? Actually, it's, praise the Lord. So Romans 8:37, you need to know where this is because this is one that you need to be quoting. This is one that you need to respond with when the devil comes for the word's sake. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, oh, praise the Lord. Actually, let's go up to 35. Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Let's go up to 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. What shall separate us? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, killed, persecution, tribulation, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors when there's a bill that comes. We're more than conquerors when the symptom comes, when the report from the doctor comes. We're more than conquerors when someone doesn't respect us, when someone treats us badly. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. I'm a more than conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. You need to sometimes preach that. That's the word you preach to your situation. I am more than a conqueror. You stupid devil, I'm more than a conqueror. Did you know that you're under my feet, by the way? What do you think? You're gonna all of a sudden rise up from under my feet? Last I checked, when I stepped on something, I smushed it. So I've never seen a spider rise up. Well, I have. But I've never seen a spider that I really stomped on rise up and come and start, you know, attacking me. I've never seen a spider that I stomped on. I've seen it move and wiggle around a little while. I've seen it think that it still could scare me. But it's never gotten up and attacked me. It's never gotten up and got my face or something like that. I know that when it's under my feet, I got it. I got the authority over it. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Amen. He has made us more than conquerors. Oh, let's turn to Proverbs 18. See how we're filling up our arsenal? These are the answers. This is the stuff you keep in you. When you start praising him in the situation, you know, how many of you know that when you're in a trial, I'm sure you've all been in one, but when you're in a trial, the first thing isn't always the word that comes up on your mind, right? It isn't always the first thing you want. You purpose, like, when the next test comes, I'm going to have every word. I'm going to know exactly what to say, and I'm going to respond the right way. But how many of you know that sometimes the world and the distraction of the trial keeps us from responding the right way? But praise will remind us and help us into that flow. Does that make sense? Because when we invite him into the situation, if we're being diligent ahead of time, like when you take that attitude, like I know you're all taking right now, I'm going to have the answer next time. I'm going to know what to say. I'm going to know it next time. You all got that right now in you. Yeah, that's awesome. So what you do with that is you keep filling up in the Word of God. But when the trial comes and you didn't respond the right way, because you probably won't, at first, most of us do not. Most of us don't. Let's just be real. Can we just not pretend that we're all perfect and have arrived? Like, can we just pretend for a little while that maybe sometimes some of us might not respond the right way? Praise him. Start the praise process. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that. Start the praise process. Start the praise process. Lord, I love you, Lord. I know that you inhabit the praise of your people. I could have you right now. I could use you to be in my situation. I could use you here right now. Thank you, Lord. You remind me. I have an anointing from the Holy One, and I know all things. I know how to respond. You give me an answer when I need it. I know everything I need. Start the praise process, and then he'll remind you of all these things that we're filling up your arsenal with. Amen? Make a little flip book. Get a reminder. I just downloaded an app on my phone that's called Prayer Echo, and it'll allow you to create like some different headers of different prayers. So I have like confessions for my life, confessions for my family, confessions for my church. And so it'll let you like categorize your different prayers. Some people, we used to tell people to do this threes assignment, get three scriptures for every situation you could ever deal with in life. You know, but be ready ahead of time, amen? Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Yes. The righteous run to it and are safe. Amen. What does it mean if you run to something, right? What does that mean? You're running to something for what? For protection. When you run to something, you know, sometimes I've heard people say, like, if you ever catch me running, it's because somebody's chasing me. And that's kind of me. Like, I'm not going to run. But if I'm running, I'm running to something to seek protection from something else. If I remember that my help is always in the Lord, and my first response is like, we should have a sense of urgency that when the trial comes, we urgently turn back to God. Like, not that we've turned away from God, but when the devil gets in our face, we should urgently make sure we turn and look at God instead. Urgently. Like, my family, you know, how many of you know that if you're watching TV or any kind of modern entertainment at all, trash comes on there, and you gotta, like, you don't want to look at half that stuff. I mean, I look at, sometimes I'm on Facebook or something, and there's like half nude women that pop up. Well, I'm a woman, I'm not really attracted to that. Praise the Lord for it. But what if I was a guy? You know, it's like you're instantly. So my family, we have this kind of thing. If something comes on, you'll see all my guys, they'll go, quick. They urgently, like, get their eyes off of that. Urgently. And it's awesome because we'll be walking in the mall. Maybe there's like an underwear store, and they urgently turn their head. And not because they're weird, but they don't want to stumble. And so we need to be like that when the attack of the devil comes. We need to urgently turn back to God. Urgently keep our eyes on him. Urgently seek him. Urgently turn back to that arsenal. Urgently, right? Because if we don't run to the strong tower, then maybe somebody's going to get us along the way and distract us so we never make it back there. We want to make sure that we're staying and keeping our focus in the right place. So I'm filling up your arsenal with the Word of God tonight. Let's look at John 14, 27. Hallelujah. John 14, 27. Yeah, we got to be urgent. Urgent to get away from the focus of the trial. You know, yes, you stumble where your focus gets on the trial, because that's just, you know, that's the ploy of the enemy, and we haven't been perfected, but we urgently get back, urgently. John 14, 27, we run to the Lord. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ah, my peace I leave with you. What is God's peace? What does his peace look like? That was a question that came to me as the scripture dropped in me, as I knew that I was going to share this scripture tonight. What is God's peace? And so what did I think about? I thought about the testimony of Jesus when he was in the boat and the storm came. What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping on the pillow, right? He was sleeping. He wasn't worried. He wasn't in the world's peace, which is all circumstantial. The world's peace is circumstantial. If my bills are paid, I got peace. If I don't have any symptoms in my body, I'm in peace. If no one was mean to me today, I'm in peace. If my job went smoothly today, I'm in peace. You know, if my house is clean and nobody spilled anything or broke anything today, I'm in peace. If nobody cut me off in traffic, I'm in peace. The world's peace is all circumstantial. But God's peace is like, who cares what the circumstances? God's peace is the Word of God. God's peace is Jesus dying for us. God's peace is that we have Jesus sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, forever making intercession for us. That we have an advocate. That we have our help, our very present help in time of need. Amen. Oh, actually, let's go there. Psalm 46. Yeah, let's go there. Psalm 46. I love it. The world's peace. Instead of God's peace, instead of the world's peace. World's peace has nothing on God's peace, because the world's peace is all dependent on everything that you don't control. But you control you keeping your focus on God's peace. You control that. You're the one who chooses if you want to walk in God's peace or not. Yeah, you choose that. Psalm 46. Oh, I love it. God is our refuge. Yeah, yep. He's a strong tower that we run to. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, a very present help in time of need. Amen? He's the one who's very present. How is he very present? through his word. How is he very present? Through his spirit that lives on the inside of us. I love that. My husband's been sharing recently, like, God used to walk around, like, talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. We've been talking about that lately. Like, God used to talk with them every day, right? And that was awesome. Jesus walked around with his disciples and his followers, and that was great. But when Jesus died and he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended on high, he gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So now God is always with us. I would say he's a very present help in time of need, but we have to foster that relationship with him. If we put him on mute, if we put the mute button on so we can't hear him, then he's not our very present help. But if we're in tune with him, if we're spending time with him, if we've got his, if we've let him have the open door into our life, he's going to be there to help us. Amen. What did I write down here? He's very present through his word. He is very present through his spirit. If you're not filling yourself up on both the word and the spirit, then the Lord won't be there at the present time of your circumstance. The Lord is only very present where he's welcome. Even Jesus in his own hometown could do no mighty work because he was not allowed. He was not welcomed in. If the Holy Spirit is not invited, he can't be present. If we don't invite him into our lives and fill up our arsenal with the Spirit and with the Word, he's not able to be present to help in our circumstance because his weapons are the Word of God. His weapon is the unction from the Holy Spirit. If we don't invite him in, if we put him on mute, if we refuse to let him be our very present help, he can't help us. He is almighty. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present to help us, but we have to call on him. We have to want it. We have to welcome him in. Amen? Does that make sense? Let's turn to Psalm 118. We're in the book of Psalms. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, isn't the word good? I love it. 118, verse 6. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I called on the Lord in distress. I urgently turned back to him. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? What can the devil do to me? How can this circumstance hurt me? I'm more than a conqueror. The Lord is on my side. I run to the strong tower for his strength, right? The Lord is on my side. Romans 8:31, we're just filling up your arsenal, giving you answers, giving you a response when the devil comes. When the devil comes to test you, to try you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall our answer be? If God is for us, who can be against us? For he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, then why am I worried about that circumstance? Why am I worried about the roaring lion? Why am I worried about the principalities that are trying to trouble me? Amen? Let's look at Colossians 3:15. Filling up your arsenal. Colossians 3:15. Yeah, I love the word. Isn't it awesome? These scriptures must have been in me. If the Lord could remind me of these things, amen? You got to get them in you so they're ready and they're there to be, you know, to use for your answer. And let the peace of God, everybody say the peace of God.
Peace of God.
Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Yeah. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And I'm just going to stop there. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let the peace of God, let the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What is the meaning of the word heart there? It denotes our innermost being. Let the peace of God be hidden in your heart. Let the peace of God be hidden in there, in your innermost being, in your spirit, so that it will rule. What does it mean to rule? So when there's a judgment coming up, what's the answer to this situation? Well, the answer is you're going to die, the devil says. And the peace of God says, nope, I rule that you're going to live. My judgment is you live. What about when the bill comes and the devil's like, you're going to lose your house. I rule that that house is yours, that that mortgage will be paid, that I supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what it means. It denotes our innermost being. Let the peace of God rule in our innermost being. Let it make the judgment, the final judgment call, based on the word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Post-its and notes. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Luke 8. I don't want to go there. Let's actually skip there. Oh, this is when we were in Ephesians 6. This is something that the Lord reminded me of later on. He said, you know, just like a soldier, he didn't say it, he reminded me in my heart, but just like a soldier puts on a uniform to go to the battlefield, they put it on before they get to the battle. They don't wait till they get to the battle and say, oh, maybe I should look for my, you know, chest protector. Maybe I should look for my helmet. Maybe I should look for my gun. Maybe I should, you know, they don't get to the battlefield and like, oh, I should probably pick up something now because they're shooting at me. Because by the time you pick it up at that point, you're probably going to be dead, right? So what does a soldier do? They make sure that they keep it on hand and they make sure that they stay, you know, ready. You know, we have a real enemy. An enemy, it's used, the word enemy is used because there's actually someone fighting against us. We don't glorify the devil and we don't get afraid of him, but there's actually a real enemy that's trying to fight this Christian walk for us. And so are we going to go to the battle and not have any of our equipment ahead of time, or are we going to stay equipped ahead of time? You know, the ministry offices, as seen in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, it says that they were given for the equipping of the saints, so that you would get your equipment, so you could go out and you could fight in this war, not fighting where you're throwing swords up at the devil and the principalities or anything like that, but so you're ready to answer when the trial comes. I have this written down here. Too many Christians wait for the war and wait for the battlefield before they get ready to withstand the attacks of the devil. Is your distraction, is it worth losing your victory? Is your distraction, is everything that's keeping you from spending time with God, is it worth losing your victory? Is it worth not picking up your equipment? Is it worth going to the battlefield unprepared? Is your distraction, people think that everything in this world is worth neglecting the things of God. But when they get to the battle and they start to be defeated, they're like, man, I really wish God was on my side. I really wish God would have showed up to help me. He showed up. He showed up in his word. He showed up with his answers. He told you, be ready, because you're going to have to be in a battle. Why are Christians surprised when the trial comes? Yeah. Why are you surprised when the trial comes? Why do we cry and think like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me? Why? We got to stop doing that. We got to remind ourselves, we know that the trial's coming. We knew it was. God said it was. But too many Christians, yeah, is your distraction worth losing your victory? Too many Christians, and you got to bear with me because I was dictating into my phone. Too many Christians live distracted all the way to the battlefield and then scramble to find their armor. This is not what Jesus paid for, and that is why so many Christians in this world look and act and sound defeated. That is why so many Christians are defeated. With every distraction and with every time you neglect the word and prayer, you're handing your victory over to the enemy. I didn't decide on that. The Lord showed me those things. The distraction is what hinders you from actually being ready when you go to the battle. So let's look another thing for your arsenal. You should know this, but Mark 11. Yep, Mark 11, verses 23 and 24. You need to have this in your arsenal. You got to be ready. This has got to be part of your equipment. Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, we got to remember in our arsenal, we have our mouth. And the more word we put in us, the more word can come out of us. But remember, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this trial, whoever says to this attack, whoever says to this circumstance, whoever says to whatever it is that is standing in your way from walking in the blessing of God, from walking out the plan of God, whatever it is, if you say, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says, who says? I say. Believes those things that I say will be done. He will have, the person who believes what he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Amen. If you say, oh, I really hope this works. I really hope saying the word of God. I really hope telling the devil to flee. I really hope that telling the devil that I'm the conqueror, that he's under my feet. I really hope that might work. Well, do you believe it'll work or don't you? Because if you don't believe that the Lord is a very present help in time of need, if you think he's somewhere off in the distance and he may show up or may not, he's not going to help you. You've got to have faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what allows God to work in your life. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you say when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Believe that you have already received them. When I went to God and I asked him, when the devil came to try to take my baby out from me, when I was pregnant, when the devil tried to come and steal my baby, and I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. She will live. She will surely live. She will not die. The Lord's hand is upon her to strengthen her. The Lord already paid for healing. This is a real baby in me. This is a real being, and she is healed in Jesus' name. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it, amen. I believe that those things that I said, what if I didn't believe them? Man, I said, I really hope that she makes it. I don't know if she will. Then I wouldn't have this beautiful daughter here who's up here praising God every week before you. I wouldn't have that if I had a doubt that maybe God, maybe he will show up. Maybe he'll be present in my time of need. Maybe it'll work. Nope, it won't work because you don't believe it. It's whoever believes. Amen? Believes. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. Filling up your arsenal. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Oh, I love the word. Love it. Yes. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Thank you, God. You give me the victory in this situation. I know what it looks like in the natural. I don't need to tell you what it looks like in the natural. You know what it looks like, God. But thanks be to God who always gives me the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Does Jesus have to come back and do anything? I mean, did he leave things undone? Did he, like, fail to finish the job when he was here? Because I seem to recall him saying, it is finished. So that means he already gave us the victory, already made us more than conquerors. He already gave us the answers. He already got us to the other side. So we just need to believe it. We need to start saying it. We need to remember. We need to urgently turn our mind back to that when the trial comes. Amen? We always have to answer. Our victory is in Jesus. It is not found in the distractions of this life. I wrote that down. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Oh, yeah, I love this. And I know I'm fixing to close. I just want to share with you what the Lord dealt with my heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't the word so good? Hallelujah. What did they say? Matthew chapter 4. Love the word. Matthew chapter 4. This passage of scripture has a title in my Bible. It's called Satan Tempts Jesus. it sounds like a funny, like, oh yeah, now just wait and see what Jesus does. No, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Not by God, not purposely to be tempted, but he was led up there and he was tempted. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What did he do? He answered with the word of God. He answered with a scripture from Deuteronomy. That's where that is found, Deuteronomy 8. He answered with the word of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, look at, the devil knows the word of God. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, quoting Deuteronomy. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Oh, I could preach a whole message on that. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. So how are you going to respond when the devil comes to tempt you? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be ready to preach the word? Are you going to be ready in season and out of season? Are you going to know how to be abased and know how to abound? Are you going to be more than a conqueror, even though the circumstances make you feel like less than a conqueror? What are you going to do? Are you going to answer with the word of God? Are you going to do what would Jesus do? He answered with the word of God. What are we going to do? Are we going to be ready? I'm going to be ready. Amen. I want to end with Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. I came here, I said, well, if the Lord has a message and it ends early, well, it'll end early. Well, I'm sorry, it went a little late for you. Hebrews chapter 12. Yes, the word is always good. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen to this part. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Eyes on Jesus, eyes on Jesus. Incline your eyes, incline your ears. Keep your focus on him. Seek first, right? Seek first God. Seek first. Keep your eyes on him. Turn back urgently. Remember, run to the strong tower every single time. If you do it, if you purpose in your heart, fill yourself up, keep yourself full. And when the trial comes and the devil comes for the word's sake and the devil comes to try to get you out, to try to get you distracted, to try to get you defeated, you remember that you're more than a conqueror. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you win. I'm ready for your pop quiz. I'm going to answer it. Amen. And remember, start the praise process. If you forget the scripture, start the praise process. Amen.